If you've watched the news in the past few days, the images have been impossible to miss. The silent tape of the stranger walking up to 11-year-old Carly Ruscia as she walked home in the early evening, taking hold of her arm and leading her out of sight. The mysterious moments of an abduction caught on the cameras of the closed car wash where it took place. It looks like a nightmare caught on film. Police in Florida have a suspect in custody who they say is refusing to answer questions. But as the investigation continues, parents across the nation are again faced with fears for their own children and a tough dilemma: how to teach them to avoid abduction without making them afraid of the world they are just learning to explore. If you're about to discuss these issues with the children in your life or have already started talking to them about it and have thoughts about what works and what doesn't, give us a call. 1-800-989-TALK. That's 1-800-989-8255. You can also send us an email at totn@npr.org. With us to talk about these sensitive issues are Ernie Allen. He's the president of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, who joins us from their headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Lynn.
And also Kenneth Wooden. I didn't get to you yet. That was Ernie Allen and also Kenneth Wooden, and he is the founder of Child Lures Prevention and Abduction Prevention Program, and he's with us from Florida. Did I get all that right now?
Yes, you did. I'm glad to be on air with Ernie Allen.
Okay, great. All right, then. Ernie Allen, when it comes time to talk with kids about the dangers of abduction, how do you balance making them prepared and not paranoid?
Well, I think the key message is to empower children, to help them understand the real threats and risks that are out there. And we think these messages are positive. Someone said to me once that you don't talk about the risk to children of running out into the street and leave out the part about the potential of being hit by a car. So simple, common sense, positive messages that give kids the knowledge and the tools they need to stay safe, we think are absolutely a basic that every parent needs to provide.
Is there any way you can tell that perhaps you've gone too far, or perhaps your child has overreacted, that you've actually scared them when you're discussing these topics?
Well, I think the most important thing is the message, and I think the best way not to frighten your child is to make sure that you as a parent are knowledgeable and prepared. We think that parents need to sit down with their kids early on and say, I love you, I trust you, I believe you. If ever anything is going on in your life that you don't feel right about, you come to me and tell me, and I will help. If kids are taught these basic tools, and Ken has done a great job of going around the country and giving kids the knowledge and the ability to stay safe, we think kids protect themselves with their heads. And these are messages that work not just for protecting kids against abduction, but for dealing with peer pressure over drugs and bullies and gangs and a whole host of challenges that modern kids have to deal with.
Kenneth, when you do role-playing with kids, tell us a little bit about that first.
Sure, and if I may, I would just like to add something that Ernie said. We teach kids that people are like the weather. And, you know, sometimes we have dangerous weather, tornadoes, hurricanes. But for the most part, people are safe and caring and loving. But we have some human tornadoes. It's a good analogy they could relate to, and I don't want to scare people. But kids know the weather can be dangerous, and they know from the news that people can be dangerous. But if we teach them some basic understanding of the lures they use, like Ernie said, they feel empowered.
So when you role play with children, how do you do that?
Okay, we set up a scenario, like, and here's one of the most lethal lures. I lost my pet. Would you help me look for my pet? And I'll give you $20 if you find him. Kids are so vulnerable to that lure because they can relate to a little dog being lost and no one caring for them, and they go for that lure. We have lost so many kids to that lure. We now must teach our children that there's no lost pet. There's no lost pet. And if someone's asking for you to look for a lost pet, it's a very dangerous sign.
I know you've interviewed more than 1,000 sex offenders and abductors to find out more about this. What are some of the other lures that you have learned about through those interviews?
Sure. Another popular one is asking a child for help. Like, I need directions to a fast food store. And they make believe they can't hear. They get the child close to the car. And it's very easy to pull a child, a teenager, even a medium-built young adult through a car window by asking them for help. That's a very lethal lure. We instruct children to, if someone wants directions, to take 3 steps back and get away from that. An adult will not ask a child for directions. They won't. That should be another dangerous sign. The authority lure, a fake police badge, somebody in the uniform, but Ted Bundy, he lured a little girl from a school in Florida by making believe he was from the fire department. And he told her house was on fire, an emergency lure. And he lured that little girl to her death. We teach kids to understand that they need to have a family plan of action. And parents need to know this. Teach your child, if there's an emergency, that there's somebody in the family, somebody in the neighborhood will go with them. Don't go willy-nilly to someone saying, your house is on fire.
All right, let's take a call now from Ellen in Indianapolis. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and actually a 3-month-old, but my 3-year-old is this very gregarious, friendly guy, and when we go shopping, he says hello to everyone, we'll talk to anyone, and so I've been very nervous, and I think, like most parents, I don't want him out of my sight. But we've been reading the Berenstain book, Learning About Strangers, and so now he has, I think, an understanding as much as he can about what a stranger is, but I'm finding it sort of difficult to explain to him that, you know, when we go out, I enjoy his being friendly with people when I'm with him, but I don't want him to be so affectionate if I'm not around or very close by, and I'm not quite sure how to bridge that.
It's such a fine line to tread, isn't it, Ernie Allen?
Well, it is a fine line, and obviously with your 3-year-old, your 2-year-old, and your 1-year-old, parental supervision is going to be the key for a number of years yet. But again, that gregariousness and that friendliness is not necessarily a problem as long as your child has a healthy sense of the risk and the fact that, as Ken points out, that there are bad people and there are people that would hurt you. And if he understands a couple of things, one, that he has power, and that if there's a situation like this that represents a threat, he has the right to say no. And you need, our advice to parents is that you sit down with him early on, it's probably another year or two away from it, and you tell him, I love you, I trust you, I believe you, trust your instincts. If something doesn't feel right, you come to mom and you tell me, and you keep telling me, and I will help. Too many American kids don't tell and get themselves into trouble because they feel that they need to do what the man says.
Right. Go ahead,
Ellen. One thing. Mm-hmm. We were at a store, and a man came in and I think commented to Bobby about something he was holding, or, you know, cute or something, and he something about that man made him nervous. And we had a conversation when he left about, you know, not all people, we don't want to talk to all people, and if that made him nervous, that was okay. So I think even at this age, he's appeared to sort of distinguish about who seems like they're okay, and something about that man just made him a little nervous.
Interesting. Thanks so much for your call, Ellen.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to Patricia, and she's calling from Oklahoma. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I think, you know, it's important, just like the parent before was thinking about your very young children, you have to keep a dialogue open. I have a preteen that he's in middle school, and he is getting his attitude that he's invincible. Mm. He gets a little exasperated with me when I talk to him about scenarios. You know, he wants to go to the mall with his friends unsupervised.
Yeah.
And I still am reluctant to do that, and I explained to him why. And it's, at that age, it's hard for them to understand that they are not always going to know what to do in a situation. So even if they get upset with you, you still have to go through these things with them and talk to them all the time.
Good point. Kenneth Wooten, this caller is raising an interesting point, which is, and I think a lot of parents are thinking about this now, their kids at a certain point want to be independent from mom and dad, and they want to go out on their own. And in this day and age, nobody knows quite when it's all right to let a kid go out on their own and how to prepare them for it.
And how old is this child? I'm sorry.
He's 12 years old, and some of his friends now are being allowed to go out and groups.
Sure.
Of course,
let me just share two things with you. The prime age the predator goes after is a child from 10 to 12.
I told him that over and over.
All right, and it's been my experience, someone who is lured through demonstrations, over 200 people from malls, a shopping mall is one of the most dangerous places. No one has ever come up to me when we were doing the demonstrations with permission and said, "What are you doing?" It's amazing. A crowded mall is not a safe place. And teach your child some of the basic lures, all the lures, so he's not lured out of the mall.
So do you tell them not to go to the lure with their, not to go to the mall with their friends?
Go to the mall, enjoy life, but know the basic lures that predators use.
And what would be a typical one to an adolescent at a mall? That would not be, helping with my...
Let me tell you a typical lure for an adolescent. Hey, you could be a great model. Have you ever thought about modeling? And come out and, see me in the parking lot. I had a niece that was almost lured out of the Oxford Valley Mall in Pennsylvania by a guy who had her try on different clothing at different clothing stores and came so close to getting her in the parking lot. So the ego lure is a very effective lure for teenagers in malls.
Okay, let's see if we can get one more call in here. Mark in Kansas City. Hi, Mark.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. This is a topic I've been interested in for a long time. I think it's a disservice to have kids of an early age be responsible for their own safety. They should have a little bubble of absolute safety and innocence around them, and it should be the responsibility of the parents to make sure that that kid is in a safe environment.
We were just told, though, that a prime age for children to be abducted is 10 to 12. Would you feel that applies to that age group as well?
Well, the school that my daughter attends has had the DARE officer and the health teachers and stuff like that talking to them about the threats of strangers, and my kid's 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think by the time they become tweens or whatever, and they start wanting some independence and some freedom, that they should learn the rules and learn the risks.
Okay.
But as a young child, they should not be concerned with any of this.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Mark.
Okay.
And let me just see what you think about that, Kenneth Wooten.
Well, as a father and a grandfather, I believe start teaching children at age 5. And one of the things I would recommend to that caller and everyone else is to have their child draw the face of a stranger on a piece of paper. If they draw a scary, ugly monster, I would suggest very strongly that you start teaching them some of the basic lures, because the people that I've interviewed don't look anything like those scary, ugly monsters. The kids think a stranger is someone who's lurking in the dark, and basically it could be someone in their neighborhood who's very friendly, engaging, and seductive.
And a good actor to boot, I would bet. Thanks so much for joining us today, Kenneth Wooten. He is the president of Child Lures Prevention and Abduction Prevention Program. And also today we talked with Ernie Allen, president of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.